there's really funny traditions, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like some funny things, like, oh, so a lot of kids in Denmark use pacifiers, for example. Like, it's a really big thing. And around when they start nursery school is when they're like, you gotta get rid of it. So that's around when they're a little under three. So Bo is coming up to this. And you'll see in parks, like in cities in Denmark, they have these trees where kids will go and like hang the pacifiers. It's kind of gross, but it's also really cute. You'll like make this ritual like trip when they turn around three or whatever, and like you give them away, and then it's like they're entering the next phase of childhood or whatever.
I
So
love
there's little
that.
things like that which are like weird but also kind of cool. So
Yeah.
Hi guys, I am your host, Megan Van Dievender, and this is the Empowerhood Podcast. Empowerhood is all about empowering women no matter where you are and what season you are in life right now. We provide encouragement, inspiration, and resources to get you through anything that you might be going through. Tune in and listen to so many incredible stories from women that have failed, celebrated, thrived, made mistakes. We can all learn from each other to become the best versions of ourselves. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy this episode.
So everyone out there listening today, we have Anna Glasser here with us. So Anna, why don't you start it off and tell us a little bit about you? Who is Anna?
Hi. Well, who am I? I am Anna. I just turned 40 this year, or last year actually, in December. And I currently live in Copenhagen, Denmark with my family, and we are my husband and three kids. So we have three boys ranging in age from 12 to one just turned 9 today, actually. And then another is 2, almost 3. And yeah, I've lived abroad for most of my adult life. We lived in London before Copenhagen, but I grew up in New York. So just outside the suburbs, or in the suburbs, just outside the city, where I'm talking to you now from.
Right.
We're visiting family. What else? I have a background, like professionally, if we want to get into that, in communications. So I used to work for different environmental organizations, helping with like externally facing communication work, PR and media work, social media, all that kind of stuff. But after Beau was born, our youngest, I took mat leave, and then I never went back due to like, well, having three kids is a lot. And there was health stuff in the family. So it seemed like a time to kind of step back. And now I'm debating, like I may want to go back to that, but I also, as you know, Megan, but I guess no one else does.
Yeah.
I currently or recently finished a yoga teacher training. So I'm starting slowly to kind of see where that takes me. I'm definitely like a live in the moment person. So yeah, I'm kind of just seeing where that goes and then thinking about next steps further down the line, if I want to get back to my kind of comms career or if I, yeah, go with this yoga thing. So we'll see. TBD.
Right. Well, I love that about you, that you just take it, you know, one day at a time. So Anna is my, did we figure this out over the weekend? You are my sister-in-law's sister-in-law. Is that what we came up with?
Yeah, that's what we came up with, which doesn't have a good term yet. But
I know.
Maybe, I don't know if we can coin that here.
Yeah, we'll have to name it. But I have been dying to get you on here because I just feel like your life is so unique and that you have been abroad raising your children. And I would just love to hear about that. So, I mean, so how did you meet your husband? So your husband is from Denmark.
Yeah. So how long are these podcasts? Cause, no. I can sum up. So we met originally like a long time ago, like 20 years ago. I studied abroad my junior year of college in Copenhagen, and we met, but it was like, okay, we met. And I left thinking I would maybe show my grandkids Copenhagen one day when I was retired.
No.
But then coincidentally, like maybe a year or half a year later, he studied close by where I was studying in California. I did my undergrad in Santa Cruz. So we kind of reconnected. And again, he left. It was like, how is this going to work? But we kind of kept in touch and then did a lot of back and forth. And eventually I decided I had always wanted to study up for a master's in communication anyway. And then I found a program in Copenhagen. So we kind of got by then we got serious and I moved there to study for my master's. And then we've been together since then, but living different places. So we left after I completed my master's. We actually moved back to New York City for just a year.
Okay.
And then London and then Copenhagen. So all three of our kids were born in these various cities, New York, okay. London, and Copenhagen.
So Axel was born in New York?
Yeah. So I did most of my pregnancy with him was in Copenhagen, and then we moved right before he was born.
Okay. So he's the only one that was born in the States, though.
He is. Okay. Luckily, though, they all have Danish U.S. passports.
Okay.
He was the only one born in the U.S., yeah.
Okay. So what is this like for you, you know, living abroad and not being near family and, you know, being a totally different, like, culture? What is it like?
I mean, pros and cons. So it can be very, like, romantic, especially when we lived in London, because we were both sort of out of our culture, out of our countries.
Right.
It was definitely, like, some romance involved. It was, like, you kind of have this common appreciation for where you are. And also if things are going, like, not so great or you're annoyed, you kind of also have this, like, very common, I don't want to say enemy, but you have this common sort of challenge that you can, when things go wrong, you can chalk it up to, like, oh, we're in this weird place and isn't it annoying?
Right.
And that was kind of cool. And then when I've noticed that, like, when we lived in New York or when we're in Denmark, I think whoever's from that place can feel a little, like, not responsible, but I think sometimes you feel like if Svenna ever struggled, or my husband Sven ever struggled with stuff while we were here, or even when we visit, I feel a little bit like, oh, I need to make sure he likes it.
Right.
And I think it's the same for him if I ever feel something's annoying, I think he can feel like, oh, I need to. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. And it's certainly not that person's responsibility, but I think it can feel that way.
Right. You so take it personally. Yeah. Cause it's your home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally understand that. Now, with the kids, I mean, I always loved that your kids had a British accent. I was like, this is the cutest thing ever. Well, maybe not Beau, but Axel and Vigo. Yeah, so, so cute. But, like, what is it like raising your kids when it's not where you grew up and it's not your roots?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, there's some romance to it, too. Like, yes, my kids, the two older ones had the best British accents, and now they've kind of gone American after we left London. Again, in London, it was sort of cool because it's like you're like a little bit out of it. Like, you don't get it. It can be, like, sweet and cute. And then I think because Denmark is my husband's culture, there's more like, oh, what? Wait, there's more questioning. I think of, like, why do they do this? It can feel a little more confronting because it's different, but it's sort of familiar.
Yeah.
But I try to just go with it and embrace the things I can. And if something really feels like that's too weird, like, Denmark's very small.
Mm.
It's not super diverse. And I think sometimes we can, it's a way of opening up conversations too, I think, where it's like, okay, so let's say they, you know, it's a, I think it's Protestant or Lutheran. Like, they have, like, national religion, which is totally fine. I'm happy with that. I'm cool with that. But, like, I'm half Jewish. I grew up, like, in a very mixed kind of environment.
Right.
So then it opens up avenues to, like, talk about, well, yes, they celebrate Christian holidays here, but, you know, there's more out there. So it can be bristling, but I think you have to allow that to then open up conversations. So
yeah,
and it's fun. They do cute stuff and there's really funny traditions. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, some funny things. Like, oh, so a lot of kids in Denmark use pacifiers, for example. Like, it's a really big thing. And around when they start nursery school is when they're like, you gotta get rid of it. So that's around when they're a little under three. So Beau is coming up to this. And you'll see in parks, like, in cities in Denmark, they have these trees where kids will go and, like, hang the pacifiers. It's kind of gross, but it's also really cute. You know, like, make this ritual, like, trip when they turn around three or whatever, and, like, you give them away, and then it's like they're entering the next phase of childhood or whatever.
I
so there's
that.
Little things like that, which are, like, weird, but also kind of cool. So
yeah,
I think it's cool for them to have this unique upbringing. I mean, I just grew up in New York. My parents are, you know, have been, they're also New Yorkers. So there was definitely, like, we didn't have this third culture or whatever. So
right.
Yeah, try to enjoy it and embrace it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you were kind of telling me over the weekend, like, just some of the positive things that happen, you know, in Denmark. And I was like, how, you said it's very safe. And I was like, well, how, why? Like, how is it so safe? And, you know, Willis was saying, like, well, it's so small. Mm. You know, like, I think he was saying, like, the population of Maryland is, like, what Denmark is, or something like crazy like yeah. that. And I was like, oh, well, I don't, in my head, I think of, like, Copenhagen being, like, huge. But, yeah. I mean, maybe it's a big city for Denmark. Is that what you would describe it, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, so it's the capital city of Denmark. And I guess anytime you think capital city, it's like, okay,
right.
it's something, right? It's a capital European city. But it, I think, I'm sure Willis is right. And so I think it's, the whole country is like 6 million people.
Yeah.
And so Copenhagen is about, I think, greater Copenhagen. Maybe we're, maybe around a million, which is a small city. I mean, if you look at like the top cities in the US alone, right. I don't know where it would fit, but.
Well, I'm pretty sure like there's more people in Manhattan than there yes. is like in.
Absolutely. And that's another thing to like talk about with the kids, right? It's right. like, so you're growing up in a super safe metropolitan feeling city, but it is, it's like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's like a huge suburb of itself, I guess. It's not, it doesn't feel super, super urban. Unless you're right in the city center. Okay. But then it's like, okay, let's, that could be a point of conversation that could be interesting, where like, how are other cities different? And New York, yeah. they don't even really like New York. I think they find New York like very intense.
Yeah, I find New York very intense. So I understand that.
That makes sense. Yeah. yeah. But it's tiny. And I think, again, pros and cons. Like, so it's, it is super safe. The kids cycle to school. Our middle kid who just turned 9, he started cycling by himself right after Christmas this year. So, wow. and he's been asking for ages, and we're like, oh no, you're not ready. But he's been doing it for the past few months, and it's safe. And we feel like really good about it.
That's awesome.
So that's a cool, yeah, that's definitely really a cool thing about it.
Yeah. So what do you, what have you had a hard time like adjusting to?
So we talked a little about that on the weekend, Megan, and not to beat a dead horse, but so for me, the biggest struggle by far is the darkness. And okay. I think people have like a very romantic idea about Denmark, rightfully so. It is the home of Hans Christian Andersen, like the famous fairy tale writer.
Yeah.
But a lot of his fairy tales are actually dark. And I think that like sums up Denmark very okay. well. Like, it is a beautiful, lovely place, but there's a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
So the winter is super dark. It maybe gets light around 8:30 in the morning, and then sun setting already at like 3:30 in the depths wow. of winter. Okay. And it, yeah. And it's not like a sunny, beautiful day. Then most of the winter is gray. So it can get grim. And I think a lot of foreigners in particular struggle with that. So I for sure get seasonal affective disorder, and yeah. you do get depressed. It's yeah. so, we got to deal with it. So what I found helps, I don't know if anyone on the podcast is like, what can we do if we move yeah. abroad where it's dark? But like vitamin D, like a lot of vitamin D, got to get outside. And I like meditation has, this year has been my best year, and I've gotten much more like serious about meditating on a regular basis. And yeah. I find that that helps, but also just like leaving, like going yeah. on a holiday more sunny.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, that's really tough. And then it, like, again, this pro and con about being a small society is, I think a lot of foreigners, immigrants can feel isolated. I mean, so it's a different language. Most people speak English, but if you're living somewhere and you don't speak the language, you'll miss a lot of, I think, just like the fabric of the culture is part of the language is part of that. So it can be super isolating, I think, just because it's small. And I think there's an assumption like you should get it. Right? Like you should just get how things work, and it's not always obvious. So right. I think there's a bit of that too. It can be tricky to navigate. Yeah. Like how certain things work.
Totally.
I think that's true of anywhere you'll live abroad though. Like
right.
when we lived in London, it was English speaking, but there's definite moments where I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know. I don't get it.
well, like those words yeah. that you told me what they mean in London. And I'm like, but they speak the yeah. same language as us. Like, that's exactly. confusing.
Same language, but you could be on totally different.
Wait, what was Wait. One of them? Was it cilantro? Is that what you were saying?
Oh, yeah. Cilantro is coriander in British English. Or when we first moved to London, I remember we were eating out, and on the menu it was they had courgette fries. And I was like, wow, what is this courgette fry? And it turned out it was zucchini.
It was a zucchini fry?
Yeah. So it was like, yeah, they have a lot of French words in British English more than, I guess, American. Yeah, wow. A lot of small things. So like small things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I try to like flip it and think about people coming to our country and how we expect them to just be like, why do you not know what's going on right now?
Yeah,
but totally. I can see how that would be so like frustrating and confusing at first, at least.
Yeah. But it gives a lot of empathy too, I think. Like,
yes.
I was just talking to my dad recently about like when people don't speak English very well in the US, and he's like, I really try to like, cause my father and mom, they lived in Paris. Like you know, before they had kids, and he's not the best with languages, and he really struggled. And he's like, ever since then, I think it's just brings about some empathy. Like, yeah, try to be a little more forgiving, because not everyone grows up in the US or grows up speaking English. So
yeah, absolutely.
I heard something about like people with accents it's like a sign that they've really tried something and put themselves out there, and it shouldn't be something to make fun of, but really to be celebrated. But you know, when you're a kid,
it's so hard to learn another language. I mean, you do really have to kind of slow down and be like, all right, like, hold on. Cause it can be frustrating when you don't understand someone, but yeah, it's hard. I mean,
yes,
I barely learned anything of Spanish like in high school, and I have not tried since, but it'd be pretty cool to know a different language.
Yeah. There's always time.
Yeah. You're right. It's never too late. So how do you think your kids feel, you know, about like, they've always lived abroad. So like, have they ever been like, I want to go move to New York, like where your parents are, or like be closer to family, or like what goes through there? I'm curious, like how they feel about it.
Yeah, I think, well, for them, it's like, they don't know anything else. So it's hard to really get a sense of what they think. But I think with our oldest, I mean, he's 12, almost 13. So it's more easy to kind of get a sense of what he thinks. And he's moved a lot. Like, he was born in New York. We moved when he was, obviously he doesn't remember, he was one, but we moved to London.
Yeah.
He switched schools a few times there though. And then we moved to Copenhagen. So he's sort of, I guess, been the most exposed to all this. And I think he feels like, recently he's like, I don't want to move schools.
Yeah.
And I was like, what makes you say that? And he was like, I don't know. I don't want to move schools.
Okay.
And I was like, all right. So there's definitely like, they think about it. And I think it can be really hard actually. Cause I think like when you become a teen, he's becoming a teen. You want, I don't know, at least my experience when I was a teenager is like, you just want to fit in. Mm-hmm. You want to be like everyone else.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe he's reaching this point of wanting to like, I don't know that he wants to feel like Danish, but I think he wants to feel like he's kind of rooted where he is. And
yeah,
I mean, yeah, we are for now, but he's half American and who knows? I mean, we'll definitely, we won't move his school. We'll stay till he finishes. He has like how the system works there is he has 3.5 more years where he is.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess I hope that it's like something they'll see. There was real value in when they're older. I think as being a kid, it can be hard to see how is this benefiting me. I think it's sort of this abstract like reality in a way, like this weird kind of tightrope of how it is. But I guess I hope they'll see that it was sort of an interesting childhood. I mean, I just, again, like grew up in New York, never really went anywhere. And the first time I traveled to abroad, I was 14 and I was like, this is amazing. It was like a life changing experience.
Yeah.
I knew already then, I was like, I'm going to travel. This is going to, I loved it.
Wow.
I don't think they have those epiphanies or revel. I think they'll probably be homebodies, some of them, just because they travel all the time now. Right.
Like the opposite of what you guys do. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe have like a fantasy too. I'm like, when I retire, just want to retire somewhere. And I want to go walk to the coffee shop and like get my coffee every morning at the same, like, I'm like, I don't want to travel. I just want to be on a nice beach somewhere and just do the same thing every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just hard to say. Like, I think
Well, I think it's hard for kids to see that, you know, in the moment that this is like actually really, really cool, like what they're doing, you know, because it's just their life. Yeah. But I mean, if you think about like military kids move, you know, every 2 to 4 years and, you know, they are more diverse in their travel. And even if it's just in the U.S. So, I mean, your kids being able to live in different places in Europe and whatnot, I mean, I think that's amazing. Even Willis was like, does Anna realize how cool her life is? And I was like, I don't think so. Because you're like going to the south of France for a yoga retreat. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going for the weekend. Like, I mean, people don't get that. You know, that's so far for us, you know, but it's absolutely not that far for you. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I have to feel, I do feel very lucky, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's not for everyone, though, right? Like, your personality, like, really lets you just embrace, like, all the amazingness of it, even though, obviously, there are some negatives where you're feeling down and stuff in the darkness. But I mean, I know you told me that you don't want to stay there, right? Like, you want to try other places.
Yeah, I think I'm still like, I do have that retirement fantasy, but that's far, I mean, hopefully that's far away. Yeah, I think I still have a few more moves in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to just keep going at some point to a new place. And like I said, I mean, maybe it will be New York. It's really nice to be around family, for sure. Like, we live pretty close to my sister-in-law in Denmark, not our shared sister-in-law. Yes. Obviously. And that's so nice because she picks up our kids once a week from school.
Oh, that's awesome.
Having family around is really, really nice. Oh, yeah. But I could also imagine just kind of taking off and like, who knows, somewhere Asia, Middle East, just like somewhere very foreign and learning
something new. Yeah. That's awesome.
But yeah, for now, like Axel is, I don't want to move. So we're really like committed to this kind of at least four-ish more years. Where we are. And then maybe even at that point, if it doesn't make sense to move, then we'll see.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely
revisit it. Yeah. In 3 years. So I have a weird question. All right. So being a mom in Denmark versus being a mom in New York. So do you, like, you visit New York a lot. So like, what are the differences? Like, do you feel like it's like totally different? Like expectations or like, how do you feel?
In some ways, yes. And in some ways, no. I guess there's this universal, like, moms are moms everywhere. I feel like women are super stretched. And even though there's like amazing support, just like socially kind of built into systems in Denmark, I think moms are still super stretched. Mm. So I think in that regard, there's like a lot of similarities, but I guess there's differences too. I think Denmark is, again, small. And I think there's just less sort of competition. So New York City, I'm talking like New York City specifically, not necessarily New York State, but like New York City and London, big cities and super competitive. And I have to say, I'm glad to be in Copenhagen for that. Like, I think it's nice for the kids to grow up in a small city where I don't think they feel this, I think kids in London and New York, they feel a lot of pressure to perform, you know, it's always about like getting to the next school and I feel sometimes it is like this ladder of moving up to the next thing, which it's fine. Yeah. Like if that's where you are and that's what it is and that's how it is, you deal with it and you do it. But I think it's really nice. I think for the kids to be a little more free and not have to focus so much on that. You have to also like readjust to that though. So for example, like kids in Copenhagen or Denmark, they learn to read a lot later.
I remember you telling me this, that they really like just let them play, right? When they're little, it's like very laid back. Yeah.
Super laid back. And so like, you have to recalibrate. And I think as a New Yorker, like having lived in London, I'm like, wait a minute, like, is something wrong with my kid? They don't read yet. Like they do, they all get there. My husband got there. Right. Like I keep trying to like look at him
totally
when I'm like, maybe this
well,
is
when he's
great.
Like brilliant, super successful, you know, it will be okay. Like, right.
It'll be fine. So I think that laid backness can definitely translate into how you parent as like, it is a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
I think like, again, they cycle to school. They do a lot more independently. And so I think that creates just a little bit more of a laid back vibe. And I've definitely heard people say too, like parents in Copenhagen never yell, or in Denmark, they never yell.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, okay, it's not true. I'm sure parents yell, but I do think there's like just a little, it's like not as high strung as New York City or London. So I think there's definitely less urgency to like get your kid to the next thing, right? Like, yes. I think about when do parents yell, and it's often because it's like stress. Oh, we have to get to this or that thing. And I think things are much slower in a sense. So there's less of that kind of friction. Which I think is nice. I think that's a nice thing.
Well, and you were also saying that isn't like your childcare and like university is paid for, like all this, these stressors, right, that are put on parents, you know, to find childcare or to pay for childcare or to save for college. Like all these things are paid for through your taxes.
Yeah. So you pay a high tax, but you feel like you get a lot in return. Like most people feel, I don't know if they feel happy. I don't know if anyone ever feels happy to pay tax, but I think feeling like you're getting something in return makes it a lot easier to, you know, file and do it and feel like it's fine. Cause I can see where the money's going. And so, yes, it is a much less stressful system in that regard, where I think I'm not entirely sure, but I think from when the kid turns around 9 months till they're three, they're in like a daycare system, which they're guaranteed a spot, and they might not get it right when you want. I mean, it's not perfect. Yeah. But they're definitely guaranteed a spot for whatever full-time care. And then when they turn three, they start nursery school. And again, like guaranteed full-time care until then they start school. And all of that is, school is free. I think the daycare and the kindergarten, it's super heavily subsidized. So it's very affordable. It depends how much you pay depends on your income. Okay. So if you're in like the higher income, you will pay more, but it's not prohibitively expensive by any stretch of the imagination. And I think, yes, that takes a huge stressor away. I mean, when we lived in London, for example, with Vigo, at one point when I was getting ready to go back to work, I think it was almost like, I'm going back for me because I want to, because all the money I was making was going for the childcare.
Yeah.
So that really, I mean, that creates a lot of imbalance. Whereas here, you're not going to be paying your entire salary towards childcare. And then, school, elementary, high school is all free, and university. And they even get a stipend to study. So it's not going to pay your rent, but it will pay for a little bit. Like it'll pay your, I don't know, grocery bills or whatever.
Right.
So you can see they really like put a lot of a high value on the family unit and trying to support families for sure. Which takes, and also, so there's like socialized medicine and healthcare, which is really sweet. And like, I think can't be underestimated. Like when our sister-in-law just had her baby, little baby Mike, I went back like right after he was born, Ruth was on the phone. I was like, oh, who are you talking to? She's like, oh, insurance.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's, you deal with it again, but that's annoying. Like when I had Bo, I left the hospital and that was it. Like no paperwork, no nothing. And I think especially in those early days, it's very nice to not think about, you know, covering this or that or whatever.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Or paying like a deductible, you know, all that stuff that comes along with it. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds so nice. That's why I'm like, in my head, I'm like, why are you leaving, Anna? But I totally get it. I mean, adventure. You're an adventurer. I get it. Yeah. But it does sound like just like an amazing place for a child to grow up. I mean, not anywhere. I feel like you're going to make it the best that you can, but it does sound like a really cool place and a great experience for sure. So I mean, what do you see yourself doing? Like, what do you think? So 3 years, are you going to move?
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't got that far. So we keep touching base and talking about what makes sense. And like you said, yeah, it's awesome. Why would we leave? I think if you look at it from a very pragmatic perspective, it makes no sense, right? Like I can do that like mental calculation. Like we should stay here till all the kids are in university for free. And then we can like take off. But I guess I just don't look at life as always. I mean, sure, you need to be pragmatic sometimes, but I definitely am not the most pragmatic person. And so I see it's who knows how long you have. And I am, like I said, I'm much more of a live in the moment person. And I think for me, like a 3.5 year span is it's a lot.
Yeah, that is long. I mean, I think it will probably go by really fast, but that's long.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. Check in at that point and see. I mean, I have like some big dreams and ideas, but I think if I had a better sense, maybe I could say more concretely what, but I don't know. I think there's idea, like I said, somewhere just totally off the whatever, off the grid, off, who knows, or maybe most likely like coming closer to family in the US.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you get like any pressure from your parents to come back here?
Luckily, not really. I mean, once in a blue moon, there might be some off cuff comment, but no. And I think that's also, I'm really grateful just for throughout my life for my parents being very like, I'm sure they have all kinds of judgments, but not revealing them to me.
Being really supportive.
Allowing me to make the decisions that I thought are the right ones for my life. So no, luckily not. And I think that's a really, I know we always are like, oh, I'm turning into my mom or dad, but that's definitely one thing I would hope that as my kids get older, I can be like my parents in that regard. And just, I mean, you might see them making a not so great decision, but just allowing that to happen. I think that's an important part of growing up and figuring stuff out for yourself. So no, luckily they're not too. And I think it helps that my brothers now had two kids because they have
more kids grandkids around. Yeah. Well, I feel like you come back to visit a good amount considering how far away you are. I mean,
Yeah. I feel really lucky we're able to make that work. Yeah. So we do come back like 2 or 3 times a year and usually spend a fair amount of time on those trips. So it doesn't feel totally disconnected for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you put in a lot of effort for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, you can really practice yoga anywhere though, right? You can. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. So do you want to tell everyone about your retreat or do you not want more people coming to your retreat in south of France? Ooh.
Well, I will tell. And if anyone out there is interested, so like I said, I only just got my certificate. So I am very green, but very passionate and excited to teach. So a friend of mine and me have organized a retreat. It's at it's like her childhood home or summer home. She's from Paris, but it's in the south of France in a town called Vaux-Matouelle, which I've never heard of, but it's very close to Saint-Tropez, which is a small city many people will have heard of. I think it's like super romantic and beautiful. It's on the water. And we're going to spend a long weekend. It's Mother's Day weekend. So maybe, you know, if you need an escape.
Yeah. I know Will's Mother's already looked up flights for me, but I don't know. I would love to.
Maybe make that leap. Maybe you do it last minute. But it's super informal. We're going to have yoga sessions each of the days. And then we're going to do a lot in nature. So we'll go on a hike. So I think the beach where we're going to be is protected forest all around it. So you can do some amazing hikes, and get really high elevation and just look out to the ocean. Yeah. So it's going to be, really relaxed, laid back. We're going to eat good food and just kind of bond. There's not many signed up. It's not going to be a huge thing, but I think it'll be like a very nice, intimate experience. So yeah, for sure. If anyone's interested or, you know, in the future, we'll see how this goes and hopefully I'll be able to organize some more elsewhere. Yeah,
that would be amazing. I will link your contact below, or do you have a link to it or should I just have them contact you, Anna?
I do have an Instagram handle I set up. It's not active, but I mean, when I say active, I'm not posting on it, but I post like just the basic offerings of what I have. And there's info about the retreat there. So I can.
Okay. Yeah. It's send that to me and I'll put it below. Yeah.
I will. And so, and if you like DM, if anyone's interested or wants to know anything, you can just message me there and I will check it eventually and get back.
Okay, cool. And that's the 11th? No, May 10th?
Yeah. Okay. 10th, 11th and 12th of May.
All right,
so it's a Friday, like afternoon through Sunday-ish, midday-ish.
Okay. Yeah. So that sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me.
Thank you for having me. And it's really nice you set up this space to have for moms, to talk. It's a really valuable space. It's really cool you set it up, Megan.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, I will talk to you soon. And I'm so happy I got you on here before you head back.
Yeah, thanks for organizing it all and being flexible.
Yeah, you too. I'm getting my daughter in. Hold on, I'll be right there.
It's good. Moms need the flexibility.
Yeah, it's all good. All right. Well, you have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Megan. Thank you.
All right. Bye.